Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the issue posed by Gary of Sussex. Gary of Sussex called in. Gary said, what do I think about the vans, the voting van or vans? Maybe there's more than one, I don't know, but at least one driving around Racine. And Gary, I think that's fine, but let me tell you a difference. A lot of people, Tim Ramthan, who's a long shot candidate for governor on the Republican side, both Clayfish and Michaels are ahead of him in the polls, but he said it's illegal. Well, it's not only is it not illegal, but I think it's a good idea, and I'll tell you why. The Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed drop boxes, unattended drop boxes. Okay, let's assume that's the case. There are drop boxes in clerks' offices at City Hall or wherever they are. When you walk in there, you don't go up to the clerk and have a long conversation. You stick your ballot, your absentee ballot in it's a slot, like a mail slot, in a lockbox. The difference is that the office is open 9 to 5 and there are people there all the time watching it. So that's not the kind of drop box that was intended or even stated by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Secondly, the people that are in this van are employees of the municipality. They are authorized. They're like the clerks behind the counter. You could go into the counter and stick it in the box without even talking to them, and they're observing it. Here, they go to your van, and it says voting van. So you go on and say, I'd like to vote. Okay. They sit there. There's a desk. They have a computer. And you say, they say, let's see your ID. You have the ID. They look at you. You're registered. You say, here's a ballot. Walk over there. There are three or four little voting privacy booths. You go in and you vote. You come back. They take your ballot. And that's fed into it has to be done on election day. It's not permitted for it to be done right away. I think it should be done right away. But in any event, then that is taken back to the headquarters and it's put with all the other absentee ballots. So it's not a drop box, and it is authorized, hired people who do that kind of thing. And there are some behind the desk back in City Hall or wherever the office is, and there's some in this van. There's no prohibition in the law on mobile voting like that if it's done with complete integrity and security, which it is. Then the question is, even if it's not against the law, is it a good idea? Is it a good idea? I think it is a good idea, but a lot of the opposition comes from people, and I think they're mistaken, and conservatives who think, well, what'll happen is there will be people who won't be able to get down to drop off their ballot in the office itself, in the box there, but you know, it's under observation, and they won't get around to mailing it. Or they'll mail it too late. So maybe we can squeeze out some votes here and prevent some marginal people from voting. I want conservatives to think about the following. My own view is that when you open up voting, make it more liberal, including drop boxes, quite frankly, but okay, let's say you don't have drop boxes, that will ultimately benefit conservatives over liberals in a lot of areas of the state, and frankly, in elections that seem to go Republican. I do not think that these marginal efforts to chip away at the ability to vote benefit conservatives. I really don't. The numbers involved are not that substantial. And there are a lot of people who are conservatives, who are not wealthy, who live in rural areas, they're good people, they have an idea on an issue, they'd like to vote. There are hassles to voting. Election day is not on a weekend, it's on a Tuesday. People vote, people need childcare. There are elderly people who take care of their daughters or sons' kids while they go to work, can't possibly leave. You can go, okay, well, get a mail-in ballot. Well, with the mail-in ballot, it's a bit of a hassle. You have to know a little bit about computers to how do you upload your voter ID and all that. And people, I'll do it election day. and election day comes and, well, no, I have to provide child care, I have to work, or it's raining and they don't go down. That affects lots of people. That affects lots of people. So I would commend to conservatives, rethink your opposition to some of these functions that make it easier to vote. In the long run, I think you're going to find that it would accrue to the conservatives' benefit to make it easier to vote. And the sad thing is, this is a very sad thing, the truth is many people don't vote. In this August primary, we'll be lucky to get 20% of the people voting. You know, it's August. People are on vacation. They're going to go to barbecue. They're going to go to a softball game. People are going to forget. A lot of people don't read the newspaper. It goes over their heads. This is what happens. So there you go, Gary. I think it's a good idea. I don't know how much effect it's going to have on turnout. I think, unfortunately, not very much, but it's a very good idea. I want to talk to you about a sentencing on an individual who invaded the Capitol on January 6th from Texas, a guy named Guy Reffert. He stormed the Capitol. He got the longest sentence of anybody so far, 7 years and 3 months in jail. He's already spent 19 months. That will be deducted from it. So he'll end up with something like 5.5 or 6 years. Here's what he did. He stormed the Capitol with a handgun, a Glock, a helmet, body armor, and zip tie handcuffs. He told fellow members of the 3%ers militia group, his radical group, that he planned to, quote, drag Nancy Pelosi out of the Capitol by her ankles, quote, with her head hitting every step on the way down, end quote. When he went back to Texas, his son named Jackson Reffert told the authorities that his father had said to him and the 16-year-old daughter, in other words, Jackson's sister, that, quote, they would be traitors if they turned him in, and traitors, quote, get shot. Threatened to shoot his own two children, 19 and 16. They turned him in. He didn't need to turn him in. Everybody knew he was there. This is a sick, sick puppy. And this is the way the guy, by the way, that Blake Masters, Trump endorsed Senate candidate in Arizona, said that a third of that crowd were FBI agents and they ginned it up. That's false, of course. But up until now, you've had some, you know, people get off with 60 days, 90 days. The people that got several years were the ones that hit cops. The people that injured cops are going to get very long prison sentences, and they're pending. But this is the first one where they came right out and said, all right, you're going to get 7 years, over 7 years. There are sentencing guidelines in the federal system for each crime, and the guidelines for this one were 9 to 11 years. 9 to 11 years and 3 months. The prosecution asked for 15 years. The defense asked for 2 years. The judge dialed it down to 7 years and 3 months. So below the guidelines, the defense will have a very hard time appealing that. They can't appeal the sentence, but there's some appellate judges will say he should have 9 years, not seven. You don't go in there and everybody's yelling, hang Mike Pence. And by the way, I'm going to drag an 82-year-old woman by her ankles down the stand, bouncing her head, giving a subdural hematoma, and killing my kids if they turn them in. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. And I think that every Republican listening to this will agree with me on that one. So that's what's happening. But it's got to go higher than this. These foot soldiers who are ginned up to do it, yeah, they should go to prison. So should Trump, Giuliani, Mo Brooks, Don Jr., and the rest that ginned them up. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.